Look beyond your horizon.
Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Hello, Dream Big listeners. Greatness. What does that mean? It can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, but I have been so inspired by my guest today. I've only met her twice, but in both meetings, she filled the room with greatness. And, you know, sometimes we can struggle, we can be so focused on what we need, what we want. And when things don't always go our way, we get down or, you know, I have a lot of clients who are like, how do I get there? What do I do? And, you know, with Dream Big, I always encourage them to dream big, to dream as if. And this person, this powerful human being, is a pure example of what you can be and envision it beyond any doubt. I gotta say, she's one of the few people that I've ever met that is just like, nope, this is what I want, this is what I'm getting, and this is what I got already. And so without further ado, Miss Carmen, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I love your shirt. It says greatness for all the people who can't see it. I've got to buy a shirt from you. But so let's just talk about your life. I mean, seriously, you inspired me. Our last meeting we had at my Dream Big office, I left there feeling so light, like nothing could stop me. And I always am an optimist. I always believe in envisioning what I want. But you brought it, like right now I'm talking about it, I have goosebumps. You brought it to an incredibly different level. So tell me a little bit, why don't you tell me a little bit about, we'll start without sounding corny, start from your childhood. What was it like? What was your childhood like? How did your childhood affect who you are today? Let's go from there.
Well, I was raised in Philadelphia, and I would say that I had a very limitless childhood. Like anything I ever wanted to do, my mom found a way to get me to do it. Like awesome. In preschool, I wanted to make music. She like brought out the boxes. She used to record me on cassette tape. I would ride the buses with her, public transportation. She said I would jump up on the seats and like sing Aretha Franklin to the entire bus. She wouldn't stop me. She just made sure that I was able to do whatever I wanted to do. And then that continued like even through high school. I would get in trouble for talking too much. And rather than letting them punish me, my mom's like, no, find something to do with that gift. That's what she always said that to them. And they ended up putting me in oratory competitions. And like, I totally would win them all the time.
It's
like,
amazing though, because she didn't limit you
at all.
And that word itself is so much, because we have these kind of, I don't know, invisible limit gates in front of us. A lot of us do, where we don't even know that they're there. So here you as a young child didn't even have them. So do you feel, obviously you felt that that was an advantage going further as you grew up?
Oh, absolutely. And a little of it was because I was an only child. Mm-hmm. So even with my dad, like I was very used to getting what I want. And like, I even say it now, no, I get what I want. Like I find a way. When I hear a no, it's like, okay, it's no right now. But like, let's see how we can manipulate these factors to maybe put them in a different combination to make what I want happen.
Oh, that's what happens. My daughter's an only child, and she's a Sagittarian, and she does get what she wants somehow, some way. My head is always spinning after she's done. I'm like, how did she do that? But in a kind way, not manipulative in a negative way. But so you're saying that no matter what somebody said, if they said no, you found a different way to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. So let's talk about your beautiful voice. You have you know, I witnessed your voice at the Michigan State Fair contest for Superstar Vocalist. Now, there was a room of many, many artists in this competition.
Talented.
Extremely talented. And you got up, and I remember you saying you kind of had a sore throat or something. And I was expecting someone who had a sore throat, and you killed it. And you blew the room away. And I remember I stopped breathing when you were singing because it literally took my breath away. Not to like, you know, blow smoke up, but seriously, I was like so enthralled that I realized I wasn't breathing. Have you always had that gift? Have you always had that gift of voice? You know, some people have to work at it. Did you feel you always had it?
I've been singing since I was a child. My mom was a vocalist. Like during the 90s, she thought she was like Anita Baker's clone.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot
not
of
a bad
gigs,
thing, right?
A lot of gigs with her singing Anita Baker songs. So I would always be like on the sidelines in the studio with her singing in my little microphone screwdriver, you know, just trying to be a part of the process. So like I always sang, but for a while, I actually didn't think I sung well.
Because I have
a very different kind of voice. So in high school, like I thought that the difference in my voice, the raspiness, like the thing that people love about it, that I love about it now, I thought I really couldn't sing because it compared to like the light ethereal singers, you know, that get all the gigs, the Mariah Carey types, you know,
right.
And I couldn't really hit the super high notes. And so I used to really.
She says that people, but don't believe her. She hits high notes. I heard them.
But I used to super be down on myself, but I still sung in church choirs and I actually ended up being like the worship leader and like the church soloist all through high school. And then when I got to college, I was singing in plays, musicals, things like that. So I always sang, but I took a long break. And then I got married, moved to Motown, and I must have been here for 3 or 4 months before I got caught up in a band, because I was just singing in a corner store in like a neighborhood, and the guy working the counter was the guitar player in a Motown cover band called Icon. And he was like, "Have you ever thought about being in a band?" And I'm like, "What? Just trying to get some chips." What are you talking about? And so that's what started it. I ended up being in that band with him for like 7 years.
Wow.
And then I didn't even start writing until a couple years ago. And honestly,
how did that start?
Divorce.
Oh yes, that is a great.
So many wonderful things happen when you come through a major life change like that.
Sure.
And so once I realized that I wasn't supposed to be with him and I just took the leap and left and didn't look back, it's like I had so much in me. I wrote the poem, because greatness isn't really a song. It's like a art piece. It's like a little bit of a song than a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And so that poem is called Finally Free. And I wrote that the day after I left him. And it just like all this emotion poured out of me. And it was like there was some kind of block on me all those years. I was married for 8 years, with him for 12. And it just felt like there was some big block on my emotion. Mm-hmm. And it just started pouring out. And I started filling up notebooks with just writing and writing and writing. And then I kept thinking like, what is this? And then turns out I thought they were poems. And then it's like, oh wait, some of these are songs. Like, and so that's how it just started. And then after a while I was like, okay, I like play no instruments. And I have went to the store, I bought a guitar, I bought a keyboard. Like I was like, I bought a mixer that can record into the computer.
No kidding.
I was like, I'm going to figure this out. But after a week in YouTube, I could only play the ABCs on the guitar, which is cute because like I do home daycare. So one of my preschoolers is looking at me play and he's like, "Don't worry, Miss Carmen, you can do it. You just got to believe in yourself." Because, of course, I'm always encouraging him.
It would make
sense that he turns around and encourages me.
That's beautiful.
But it didn't work for my skills. It did help me feel better. So
how do you write when you don't play an instrument? I'm always curious because I'm a guitar player and that's how I write.
I look for musicians. So I started searching out like who's a good producer to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And in our circle, our poetry community, a lot of people kept pointing me to Mel Melodic, who ended up being the producer for Greatness. And so I was like, listen, everybody keeps telling me to work with you. We were at like a gig. He was doing sound and I was just there as the house vocalist. I was like, listen, everyone keeps telling me to work with you. Just send me some stuff and we'll see. And I swear, he sent me 6 tracks and 4 out of the 6 became songs in my album. And I wrote them like that week. Like, and I was like, I got to get in there. We got to record. And so the first song we recorded was called I'm Here. And then he was just like super impressed. He was like, okay, I'm sold. Like, and I just ended up going to the studio with him 2-3 days a week for like 6-7 months straight. And we just knocked it out and came out with an album that got nominated for Detroit Music Award.
Amazing story. Amazing story. And the album is called Greatness.
Yes.
So people can find it where?
Everywhere on all digital media streaming platforms.
Fantastic. Now, one thing I noticed about you is that Okay, so I think one of the best stories I was so excited to hear about was that you had set out to win a bunch of competitions this summer.
I did.
And you went, well, I'm not going to talk about it. You talk about it. Tell us how it started, like in your head, and what you did and what you told yourself. Because I think this is really, it's very important. Dream Big is about, you know, how much we limit ourselves and how much we don't have to. What are the skills we can have? And you are like the epitome of that. So tell us a little bit about, a lot about what you did.
Well, somewhere along the way, I figured out that my words were powerful, mm-hmm. that whatever I was saying was going to manifest in my life. Like I started realizing that I had a lot of negative speak in my life, and that's why negative things were happening to me, because I was perpetuating them. I was saying, oh my gosh, I'm so depressed. Oh my gosh, this is never going to happen for me. Like I was being very negative and opportunities, dots weren't connecting. Mm-hmm. And so I took a break and I said, you know what? I'm going to take all of July off. I took a month off of work. I went to California. I went to the ocean. I wrote in my journal. I took some time to do some, you know, inward thinking. And I had signed up for a few competitions. So I had the Detroit Black Music Awards. I was up for Outstanding R&B Vocalist of the Year. And then I was going to enter a poetry slam, which I had never done before. And then I was entering the Detroit Singing Stars competition. And then at the end of the month, I had the Michigan State Fair competition. And I was like,
so that's four things.
Four
you
things.
Had goals.
And I said, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if like I could just win them all? And then I just was like, you know what? I'm going to win them all. I'm just going to win them all. Like, screw this. Screw this negativity. I'm just going to win them all. And so I just started just pumping myself up, listening to my affirmations every morning. It started with a lot of gratitude, like, and not feeling like I needed the competitions to complete myself.
That's important.
But, yeah,
let's slow down there, because I think that that's the whole thing, is that we have this goal that we want to reach without being appreciative and grateful for what we have already.
Yeah.
And I think me being a driven artist as well, you know, I'm always looking for the goal, the next goal, the next goal, and not always sitting in what I already have. Did you find that how did you go about being grateful for what you already had? Like,
I literally listen to affirmations. Like on YouTube, you can play different affirmations. And there's a station I listen to called We Are Creators.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a 21-day grateful affirmation you can play. Like, I'm grateful for my hands. I'm grateful for my feet, for my sound mind, for my working intestines. Like, and I literally meditated every morning for 3 weeks, just being grateful. And just one of my girlfriends was like, yeah, it's oozing off of you. Like anytime anyone would say something negative, I'm like, yeah, but you got to at least be grateful you're not injured. Like, you know, like just,
right.
it put me in a mindset of anything negative coming my way, I could just switch it to what I'm going to be grateful about, even though there might be some negativity in this situation. And then that just kind of opened up the floodgates for just overflow in other areas. So when I started out, when I got back from Cali, and the first competition was the award ceremony, it was August 4th. I was on the news that morning. And then that evening I took home the award. I was like, wow, it totally worked. I was like, man, this is going to be a great month. And then I knew my friends thought I was crazy. I know they did.
So how did you continue to support yourself where you might have felt the people around you? Because, you know, sometimes when there is this positive energy, the people around you who may not be in your seat, may not have that belief, may be struggling, they can have a tendency to almost try to drip the negativity onto you. How do you keep that at bay? And what do you do for yourself to protect yourself?
Meditation every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like building up the defenses before you present yourself to the world.
Great.
Like I would take an hour before I would even go around the kids at the daycare just to get everything together, write my goals down for today, write in my journal what I was grateful about the day before. And so I was so oozing so much positivity. It's like I was building a force field around me.
Beautiful.
So that anyone that was coming up against that, they weren't hanging out with me, really. Like, they were like annoyed by me. I'm like, great, be annoyed. Stay over there. Be annoyed, you know? And so once I did that, then the people that did dare to come near me, if they had any type of negative talk, I'd be like, no. We're winning. Like my band, like they would say, like, okay, well, if we make it to the next round, when we make it to the next round, I wouldn't even let anyone use like the wrong tense of words around me. I'm like, no, we're going to speak it into existence. And like when I would even tell people like, yeah, I'm going to be in a contest next week, I'm going to win. And I will let them know, like, listen, I'm not being cocky. I'm just trying to manifest some things. So I'm just going to go ahead and speak it into existence. Like, so people were just like, okay. But then like after the first win, it's like, well, man, that's great. Then
that worked.
And the second win, I won the Detroit Sinking Stars. They're like, oh, wow. Okay. And then like, I've never entered a poetry slam in my life. And
were you scared? Were you nervous?
I was very nervous. I didn't go into it like, I got this. Like, I mean, I knew mentally I wanted it, but I still worked very hard. It was like a game plan. Like I sat in the back of it was at the Aretha Franklin,
The music hall
at the Jazz Cafe. Right. And so I sat like in the back and watched all the other poets. I'm very like just like methodical with my competition. I'm a Scorpio. I'm very competitive. So I study my competitors. So I was like just studying, and I was oozing so much confidence that I made one of the guys drop out. Like, ooh. He was like talking to me in the corner and he was like, are you nervous? I'm not ready. I was like, no, I'm not nervous. I'm prepared. And he looked at me like, and then next thing I know, they're like, oh, well, there's not 12 poets, there's only 11. I was like, dang. So he totally dropped out. I'm like, man, oh, well, like less people.
But
for
you know
me
what? Maybe he took a lesson from that, which is great. And you know what? There is so much importance in what you're saying right now. So a lot of people, you know, will set our affirmations. We may meditate. We may have these positive things. And then we're like, okay, we're ready for it to happen. You prepared. You worked at it. It wasn't something that you expected just to be handed to you.
No, like it wasn't.
You did
like
your part in it.
Yeah, it wasn't a magic potion. Like, I'm not saying you sit at home and do your affirmations and then magically things happen for you. Like, no, it changes your mindset. So I was at home all day long practicing the songs I needed to prepare for the competitions, the poems. I was like practicing in the mirror, all the dramatics, the timing, like the memorizing the words, changing things up if I felt like they weren't impactful enough. And even at the competition, it was a game time decision what was even going to be my final poem. Like, I didn't
really,
I had what was going to be picked out for my first round and second round, but once I made it to the finals, I was like, it was like toss up between Greatness and another poem I have called Anxiety and Depression. And I'm like, you know, that anxiety depression piece is a really powerful piece to bring awareness to mental health. But I'm like, I don't know, I kind of feel like I need to give him this greatness and get up on out of here, you know, with this money. You know, and that's exactly what I did. It's like, I look at when I sing Greatness sometimes, like especially at an audition or something, I look at it as if I'm like the Pied Piper.
Yeah.
And I'm like, greatness, like just kind of like weaving my way into someone's mind. Like,
well, you do.
And so that's
truly.
I did. And then I won that too. And that was a shocker to a lot of my poetry friends.
I'm sure. Right. Because it was your very first one.
Yeah. And I only wrote like 5 poems in my life. And so, you know, and they've like been writing poetry for years, and like they've won, some of my friends have won different slams, but they're like, what? Carmen won? I'm like, yeah, I did. And so when it came to the state fair, we were practicing. I was telling my band, like, listen, get ready, okay? Because we're going to make it to the finals and we're going to be at the finals. And then we're going to go and have to do a 90-minute set the next day. So be prepared. And they're like, okay, whatever. Like, are we getting paid for all this? I'm like, I got you.
Of course. But listen, explain to everyone the competition, how many people you had to go up against from the beginning. Like, give us the whole role about it. I'm involved in the state fair. I do the consulting part of it, so I know it, but I want the audience to know.
So I think they said something like 70 groups submitted videos to become a part of the live auditions. And then I think the live auditions, they had 40 come in. And then from that 40, they narrowed it down to 14. So that was kind of dope to even be in the top 14.
Like, right.
Jeez.
Like, out of all of that.
Out of all of that. And then.
And by the way, it's all different genres. So it's not
genres,
like just,
yeah.
I mean, we've got everything from country to pop to folk to, you know, rap to everything.
And
heavy metal even.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of different things.
Definitely. But and then after that, I think semifinals knocked it down to the top 5. And then I came out victorious as number
one. Now, you wear a crown.
I do. Yes.
And is that subliminal?
It is. So people, I wear the crown out, especially to clubs sometimes. And they're always like, is it your birthday? I'm like, no, it's my mindset. Like, I am royalty. Like, I'm regal. And I just need to be treated as such. And sometimes I feel like the crown is a good introduction to how you should approach. You know, and
I love it.
And sometimes it kind of makes me mad because people be like, oh, it's a princess. Like, no. No,
princess.
I'm a queen. I'm no one's princess. It's not a tiara. It is a full jeweled crown, you know. And I do have a song called "All Hail the Queen." So
do you?
I do.
So where do you see yourself from here?
Performing everywhere. I literally have on my wall in my room a Greatness World Tour, and I just take time every time I find out about a new corner of the world, a country I might want to visit. I throw it up there. Like, so right now there's like Dubai and Japan and just all these different countries, places I want to visit, Fiji. And I just want to sing greatness all over the world. I feel like there is like a wave of sadness just because of all of the craziness going on in society, mm-hmm. politics. Oh, now I done got tuned into climate control problems, and there's so much going on that people just need to be reminded of their greatness. And so if I could just play a small part in that, that'd be awesome.
Well, someone tells me you're not going to play a small part. Someone's going to tell me. And the good thing is that, you know, I think you nailed it by saying there is like a little bit of, not a little bit, there is a blanket of sadness, I think, over the world. And you know, as people, as humans, some people look at it as like, well, what could I do to make a difference? And if everybody thought that, then people wouldn't be making difference at all. Your approach, your vibe, your amazing energy is important to the world. And I think that everyone needs to know that they have greatness within them. Everyone should have a crown, whether it's physical or just, you know, in their minds, that they are wearing a crown. They deserve to be treated well. And they're here for a reason and they have a purpose. The fact that you've recognized your purpose on such a level is so huge. So if someone's out there right now listening and they're struggling, what would you tell them as advice from Miss Carmen?
The negativity in your mind is just your mind playing tricks on you. You know, you mm-hmm. really are wonderful. You really are beautiful. Everyone has greatness inside them. So don't believe the negativity. It's a joke.
And what can be their first step?
Their first step, journaling and writing down all the wonderful things about yourself, and then read it every day. Mm-hmm. Remind yourself.
Yeah.
That's the first step.
I cleaned out my, I don't know what happened to my family yesterday, but we all decided to purge. We all went through, my husband went through his office. My daughter moved back home. So she was redoing her stuff, throwing out old things. And I was doing the same. There was a lot of old stuff in there, but there were journals in there. And I was reading these journals from like 2004, from, you know, and seeing my mindset and seeing where I am today. And I think people don't realize how powerful our words and thoughts are. And they do create a path for us one way or the other, either in a dark path or in a light path. And I just want to say that for people like you, I want to give you so much praise because one, you deserve it.
But
for two, when I meet people like you, I think it's so important to encourage you to keep going because you will change people's life. You changed my life the first day I met you. And then our second meeting at my office, I was just like, whoa, like literally I felt like I was skipping around my office after you left. Like the energy that you actually left on the chair, I usually smudge in between clients. I was like, we're going to leave that for the next one. So I will continue. Where can people find your music? Again, just, do you have a website?
Yeah, I do have a website. YesMissCarmen.com, YesMissCarmen.com. Mm-hmm.
And when do you expect your album to be out?
December. So we're looking for December 28th probably is the release for our next project, Soul Symphony.
Mm-hmm. And they can find greatness all over the world.
Everywhere. Tidal, Apple Music, everywhere.
And so if you need something to get your butt out of bed and a positive thing, I would say that should be the first thing you listen to. Again, Dream Big listeners, it is a crazy world out there, but we can have somewhat control, and how we can control it is with our minds, our thoughts, and our spirit, and with people like Miss Carmen and others out there. Just find them. They can be stimulating for you when you're feeling down. Thanks again for tuning in. We look forward to talking to you next week.